So we're doing things a little bit different today.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't even have a guest.
It's just you and I.
It's just you and I. We'll see how that goes.
So I have to put up with you for this entire show.
That is correct.
Generally, at least I get to hear a guest talk. Yep. But so what? What are we just going to do, a little get to know you sort of thing? And
well, I don't know. I think I know you pretty well, but
let the listeners get to know us, because it's always been about the guest.
That's true.
It's always about like a Chris or a Pete or a Steve. I mean, how many Steves have we had on? We've actually had 3 Steves on the show.
We have. You've obviously done a deep dive.
I'm pretty sure that it's been 3 Steves on the show. It's almost like a requirement that somebody's name is Steve now to get on the show. Hmm. Their name is Steve and they've had their second COVID shot.
Don't get me started.
To get on to our show.
Yes.
Even though we're not in the same room, we'd like to keep things clean.
I think it's about setting an example. Well, I really do. And so for all our, you know, anti-vaxxer listeners, I guess we're just going to be canceled or whatever. Be offended. Whatever.
See, that's the great thing about podcasts is, I mean, we'll just keep posting. You can be all as offended as you want.
Yeah, there you go.
But we're really not here to talk about health or anything like that. We're more of a music interview-based podcast. Their health really doesn't come into play.
Oh,
honestly,
they could be
as sick as they want.
Yeah.
As long as they're in front of a computer on the other side of the world, then we're golden. We're good.
But it kind of comes into play, because I don't know about you, but I've had some concerts canceled and postponed.
Completely.
You know, and there's a, as we've talked about many times on this podcast, there's a number of industries that have been affected, not just the artists, right? But the lighting crews and the bus companies. And I mean, there's millions of dollars being lost.
It's ridiculous.
And then I address like the mental health of people that use live music and music in general to keep their, you know, keep their sanity count on those concerts and stuff. So yeah, that's too bad.
Something to look forward to quite often, if like just whether you're the performer or you're an audience member, something to be said about one, just having that to look forward to, and then actually being able to go out and enjoy the performance.
You're right. I think that's where hope comes in, right? Because lots of people are not as hopeful this last lockdown, and hope is key in our mental survival. And so to your point of having something on the calendar to actually look forward to, that is a big deal. So now on the upside, I had a gig on January 28th that's now been canceled or postponed. And so we've saved the public from that. So there's,
I was going to ask if Monday Morning Whiskey, if their January date had been canceled.
Yes.
That's too bad, because we are getting close to the date. I completely understand why they've done so. You know, once things get back to normal, I say that in air quotes, hopefully you'll be back there again.
I appreciate that. I hope you like it. Yeah.
Time for you guys to get on tour.
On tour. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's too bad. I feel like there's a lot of local bands that all, you know, which are really, really great. And, you know, music stores, everything else that supports our local musicians. And that's not happening. But, you know, the other side too, there's not too many musicians and local bands that are doing this at 100%, like that's what's floating the boat kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I feel even worse for the venues, right, that are counting on people coming in.
Yeah. So that's, now, just before the holidays, you and I were both lucky enough to get out to see Blue Rodeo, and Cuff the Duke opened up for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great.
Absolutely amazing show. It was down at Center of the Square in Kitchener. Yep. Which is an amazing spot to see a show if you ever have the opportunity. I couldn't believe it that, one, I know that you're going to the show. We didn't book this together. And we're actually, out of all of those seats, we are probably four seats apart with you being one row in front of me. Like I could have probably reached out and tickled the back of your neck if I had wanted to.
I thought you had at one point. That wasn't you.
Oh, that wasn't me. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope it was somebody really cute.
Must have been Mark. Must have been
it
Mark.
It might have been Mark.
He's got very long arms.
He does. Well, he's a piano player, you know. So yeah, exactly. No,
he's got those fingers. They're always moving. Yeah.
That was kind of neat. There was three members of Monday Morning Whiskey, you know, just in this little alcove, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely crazy.
We got to hang out with you in the lobby for a little bit. So that was kind of fun.
So tell me about your thoughts on Cuff the Duke. I didn't know them before this show. Were you familiar with them?
I was familiar with them because they've been around for a while, and I'm not exactly sure where they're from, but they've got to be semi-local because I've seen they've played here in KW before. Mm-hmm. But what I was amazed at with Cuff the Duke was that they didn't look that old.
No.
Right? And so when the lead singer said, "Wow, it's been 10 years since we've been on stage with Blue Rodeo," I'm like, "What are you? You were 12. Like,
exactly.
The hell is that?"
I think maybe they just looked younger. I don't know. Maybe they had a little makeup on.
I don't know.
Weigh the crow's feet. I don't know. They did say quite a number of them had children since the last time that they had played. So, you know, they're, you know, maybe they're in their 30s. Maybe.
Yeah, I think they probably are, but they looked young. Yeah. But no, they sounded great. They were a really good choice, I think, for an opening band of Blue Rodeo. I'm always confused sometimes when the opening band musically has absolutely nothing close to what the headliner does, because you got to figure if you're there to see, you know, this guy, or we're here to see Blue Rodeo, you know, the opening act should certainly be Americana.
Maybe, something of a similar genre,
folk rock, whatever you want to call it. So that, you know, right. So yeah, I think they were a good choice. I think they did a good job. I certainly loved the guitar choices of the lead singers.
I actually almost jumped over to talk to you about that because of how many guitars he went through at the beginning, and he just had them rotating through, and I can imagine you were just drooling the entire time.
Well, the guitar choices were similar. I think that's why I enjoyed it, right? Mm-hmm. Because I play a Casino and a Telecaster, and then you went to his Les Paul or whatever. I can't remember the order of it, but I just think that was enjoyable for me because we obviously have similar tastes in guitars and similar tastes in tone, you know?
Yeah.
So that was very, very cool. And then to see Jim Cuddy come out and he also, between him and Colin Cripp, of course, there was a lot of really nice guitars on that stage, and they all sounded great. So I don't want to stop. I never want to stop talking about guitars, but we may be losing listeners as we speak. if we talk about guitars too much, so we can circle back to that. I've got a question for you. Actually, it's an observation that my wife made, and I don't know whether you noticed it or not. Actually,
yes, my shirts, I do wear one size down just so it pumps the muscles jacked up a little bit. Yeah. I know that I know she's been looking, and that's cool. I don't mind.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the observation.
But it's all real. It's all real.
Yeah, that's right. Did you get that in the women's section? Where did you get that t-shirt?
That's right.
Yeah, your arms look huge. No, I think we may have talked off air about this, but anyway, it was really funny because, you know, I'm watching the rodeo. I'm loving their choice of guitars and their tone, and listening to Colin Cripp, and then Mike. I look over at Mark, who's the keyboardist for Monday Morning Whiskey, to give people some context. He's looking at the piano player and listening to all that stuff's going on, you know, and I can imagine all the stuff that's going on stage, and, you know, you being the resident Monday Morning Whiskey photographer, hey, this would be a great photo, and blah, blah, blah. We've all got our thing to watch. So my social psychologist wife is watching Jim Cuddy, and Jim Cuddy has, like everybody on stage, has a water bottle, and he keeps moving it around the stage. So at one point he sings, and he goes back, and his water bottle's by the drum kit, and he has a, you know, swig of water. And the next time he moves it, and it's over by Colin, and he's got that, and then it's back by Basil, the bass player, and he moves around. So eventually he puts it, there's a water bottle holder on the mic stand. And so eventually he puts it on the mic stand.
Right.
But this is sort of out of sequence from what he's been doing the rest of the night. Now he has no idea where his water bottle is. He can't find it.
No, at one point.
I have no idea this is going on. It's just the
details. He wasn't sure if he had mixed it up with the keyboardist or not. I could see that there was actually discussion going back and forth at one time.
So you were, like, were you aware?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Cause I was not, I was involved in the music. I don't know what the hell you guys are watching,
I just happened to catch the fact that this water bottle became an issue as it moved around the stage.
Right. So now it's front and center. It's on his mic stand, but he has no clue where it is. And so he goes over, he's now drinking Basil's water.
Yeah.
He puts that down. Oh, that's not mine. The next song he's going over, he's drinking Colin's water.
He just needs water.
It's just so, it was so, yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's amazing though. Like his voice is so spot on. Like a lot of people as they age, their voice changes. And like, man, that dude still hits the high notes. Greg Keeler,
cut is smooth.
Yeah, Keeler, his voice has changed quite a bit, but I like what he's got going on. It's this really raspy tone and really works for some of that country stuff that he seems to be leaning into.
I think so. I think they're both, and probably why, you know, part of their reason for success is they've got such a complementary sound where Cuddy's just so smooth and has that big range, you know, when you get to a song like Try and to be able to still hit that stuff. Yeah. To be able to sit down and still, you know, bang that one out. And then Keeler is such a complimentary, you know, raspy and gritty and, you know, filled with character and stuff. So I just like the fact, I don't know this for sure. So if by a long, long, long shot that Jim or Greg are actually listening to this or ever get to listen to this, please feel free to contact me if I got this wrong. But I think this might've been one of, if not the first stop on their tour for this new album.
Yeah.
Because it felt like Jim had alluded to this, that they were still working out some kinks and some stage signals. So at one point where, you know, they're all supposed to leave the stage except for he and Greg, and they're going to do bad timing.
I need you guys to get off the stage.
Yeah, he has to turn around and says, okay, you guys all need to get off the stage.
Go. He's waving.
You know. Yeah, not so subtle, but I love it.
He's got the airplane signals. Lights out, trying to get them off stage. They figured it out though.
Well, and then there was a song that I don't know whether Greg was getting the words wrong, which is something I'm not going to cast any stones about because I've certainly done that. Or just started the wrong song. I don't know.
I think
he took one step back and all you could hear is fuck. Hey, there we go. We got our explicit rating. We've never actually had an explicit podcast, but there it is.
I think what it was, I think he thought it was a different song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in terms of the lineup. And you know what? That's completely, completely reasonable being a first stop on the show. You know, and they probably aren't actually performing right now anyway.
Not right now, but
so
but
I think they got a little bit more time to work it out.
And Greg's been, you know, I mean, he's a pretty prolific songwriter from what I understand and doesn't have the Jim Cuddy project, which Jim does. So, you know, Jim's still up on, you know, touring and set lists and, you know, the flow of things. So,
well, apparently Greg he's actually producing Cuff the Duke's new album.
Is he really?
Yeah. So that was what the connection was there.
Oh, and, that's interesting. We should really have one of or both of these guys on the podcast. Well, I say this like it's a possibility. I don't know. Well, why don't we ask? They can only say no. Exactly. We could brag about our 10 listeners.
I think we're probably around 60 or so right now. So,
You
know what? If you're listening right now and you're enjoying the show, please tell a friend.
There you go. If only everybody, and they would tell two friends, and they would tell two friends, and so on. Do you understand? You are old enough to get that reference.
And so on. And so,
I know. Everyone's
Gray hair and the beard does give it away a bit.
Yours or mine?
A bit of both, actually.
All right. Damn it. I knew I shouldn't have bought this 4K camera. Crap.
See everything with this.
I know. Anyway, I guess the upshot is that the concert was awesome. They sounded fantastic. They played for a long time. They did a great encore. I think that given the circumstances that everybody, you know, was coming out of there, we had this pandemic. This was probably one of our first times out to do anything.
Yep.
You know, Center in the Square, to their credit, was fantastic, incredibly safe. Everybody was QR coded. Everybody was double at least or triple vaxxed. We all still required to wear masks. So, you know, I think everybody did their absolute best.
They did it safe.
Yeah, absolutely. So no dispersions to Center in the Square. So anyway, so we're all there and it's like one of the first concerts anybody has been to in forever. Blue Rodeo blows the doors off. And then they finish the night with Lost Together, which arguably one of their biggest songs, but also incredibly apropos for for being in a pandemic. You know, and so everybody's singing, everybody's on their feet, the lights are down. And so that was, I think that was, they created a special moment there, right? Which was really neat.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah. We try to create those moments with Monday Morning Whiskey, you and I sing the Joker and do those really cheesy bits on the microphone, you know.
I want everybody to come
together.
You're
the cutest thing that I ever did.
Just put your hands around the shoulder of the person next to you.
Yeah, that's
bring it
right.
in close.
It's a bit of a kumbaya moment. I agree.
It is.
Yeah, and we got to see we also got to see Lowest of the Low, which was Stephen
that's
Stanley's
right.
old band.
Yeah.
So we were down there.
How was that show?
It was great. It's great. Lowest of the Low
small
was
show.
A really...
Was it a smaller show for that?
Yeah, 100%. It was
where'd
at Lee's Palace.
Yeah.
Lee's Palace in Toronto, which is a small club, mm-hmm. not unlike the Starlight was here or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard of Lowest of the Low, they're a 90s, or they came out in the 90s. They wrote and released this iconic Canadian album, which I believe is on the Canada's all-time top 10 list called Shakespeare My Butt. So that was 30 years old this year. And so what they were doing was a small tour where they would go into these clubs and they would play that album from start to finish. And Ron Hawkins is their lead singer and probably most prolific songwriter. That's not to take anything away from Stephen Stanley, though. I think he's an incredible songwriter. It's always a question about, well, whose fingerprints are all over, mm-hmm. you know, Shakespeare My Butt. And I would say, argue that both of them are. But anyway, so Stephen Stanley no longer with Lowest of the Low. Ron Hawkins did a great job. The club itself was fantastic as far as QR testing. Not so big on the mask wearing. I think they're a smaller club that have been struggling and they want, you know, people to drink beer and you can't drink beer through a mask. At least I don't believe you can. So we just kind of hung out at the back of the bar, masks on, enjoyed the show and then left. But it was fantastic. And I think it was the last show they did because after that,
everything was closed down.
Everything closed down. And they had to postpone. I don't think they're canceling. They're not. They're going to be back in April. Fingers crossed. But yeah. So anyway, so if you happen to be listening and you're not familiar with the band Lowest of the Low, I would start with Shakespeare My Butt. They've certainly written more albums since then. Do a little bit more of a deep dive, Ron Hawkins solo projects, or Do Good Assassins, which is marginally more country than rock. And then that the partnership between he and Stephen Stanley will lead you down the Stephen Stanley road. And we've had him, lucky enough to have him on the podcast. He was phenomenal. So he's now recording up at Wolf Island in just outside of Kingston and has got a lot of great material. So even just getting involved with, you know, learning Lowest of the Low is going to take you in tons of different directions and expose you to some pretty great Canadian music.
Very cool.
So there you go. So I feel like I should ask you a question.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you've asked
I don't
me
know
really,
if I have an answer, but I'll
I don't know.
At least listen to the question.
Well, we've entertained the fact that you're wearing tighter clothing. Is that a goal for 2022 or that's just something that's happening?
That's
are there any resolutions?
Okay. No,
are there
you
any
know
resolutions?
What? Generally, I make my New Year's resolution that I am not going to play bingo for the year.
And I bet you that's not hard.
No,
that's not a hard resolution.
And that's why I do it.
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't played bingo probably since grade 8. So it's something very easy to stick to. I don't have to try very hard. You know, really it's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
The easier, the better. How about you?
I'm not going to touch that.
Any
will
goals?
Not.
You got any goals? Let's not talk about resolutions. Let's talk about goals.
Yeah.
You got any goals for this year?
Saying goals out loud is scary. Don't you think? Kind of ties you to them a little bit rather.
Yeah.
Than
I'm not talking like numbers or anything.
Numbers.
You know, exactly. I just want to continue to work on our podcast and to watch it grow. It's slowly growing. And because everybody's already just shared it about 10 minutes ago after we told them to, now there's going to be more listeners.
Yeah, I hope
and
so.
It's not about numbers for me when it comes to the show. I always want to put on a great show for our listeners.
Yeah, that's a lofty goal, I think, and just keep it interesting. That's fair. No, this has been a really fun thing. I think for anybody who cares, Backstage Lowdown was a project that we started because I mean I wasn't out playing music. So and I think you and I were both looking for, what's a creative outlet?
Yeah, we need a creative outlet.
Do. And I didn't think, the world doesn't necessarily need yet another podcast, but here we are. And
yes.
It's been a lot of fun. So that's that, therapy. That part has been great.
No, and, completely.
We do have some really good guests coming up in 2022. One of our first ones, can we talk about that? We can talk about it. Here's who's coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Jason Berry, who is a Juno Award-winning guitar player and also a producer. I think he was just up for a CCMA award for producing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
He's going to be on the show. Yeah, yeah. He's such a nice guy. I can't say that I know, that we're great friends. I haven't seen him in years. But back in the day when I was back, being a full time musician and on the country rock circuit. He was playing and he was on the circuit as well and working with Cedar Tree and Rick Hutt, the recording studio here in town. And so I knew him. His name was Woody or his nickname was Woody. And I'm not even going to tell you why, because we're going to get to that when he comes
when
on
we talk to him.
Yeah. But anyway, super amazing. He was amazing playing guitar back in the day. So given the fact that he's probably better and smoother and faster or whatever now,
it's been 20 years probably.
Yeah. Thanks.
You would.
It's been 20 years.
Time flies, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
As you continue to play on a regular basis, you're bound to get better.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So,
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to sitting down and chatting with Woody.
Yeah. And we've got Guy Few's going to be with us, and he is a consummate trumpet player and piano player. He not only performs with several different orchestras across Canada, but is also a prof up at Wilfrid Laurier. And he's got a really interesting background that I'm looking forward to chatting about too. So anyway,
that's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
He's got such an interesting story. We won't get into that story right now, but definitely one to tune in for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, and there's a few other guests that are in the mix, but we haven't, nailed down in terms of dates yet, but yeah, looking forward to it. I think I'm just going to circle back and just keep bringing up this thing for people that, don't lose hope. 2022, I am hoping and I'm hopeful that, we can move forward and move through this and get live music back and get sports back and get just the things that make life worth living. Cause I think right now, most people are left with, there's work and the toil of it, but we want to be able to travel and we want to be able to see things and do things that we really enjoy. And
I've had to move from being a music photographer to a landscape photographer because that's all I can get out and shoot, but it's still been great just to get outdoors and enjoy some fresh air.
Yeah. There you go.
A real world out there.
I have heard that. But you're welcome to, come on over and grab some more guitars and amps. I'll take pictures.
Yeah. No, wicked.
You've done a great job of those. I love some of the photography stuff. So we should promo Tribe 74 photography. So if anybody is listening, because Andrew won't do it himself, but they're fantastic photos, and you can follow them on Instagram.
You might even see an occasional photo of Monday Morning Whiskey in there.
You might actually, and so
I've actually got tons to post. I just haven't got to it yet.
Well, I'll get to it. To see those clowns and try to make them look good. Wow, that is some professional stuff.
That is a challenge. I focus on the instruments.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I think, I don't know what a goal is, but I'll tell you this. We've got to get, musically speaking, I want to get into the studio. We've got some original music that we want to record and then try to use that to, maybe get some higher profile.
You've got some great music that you've written recently.
Thanks.
I know that you're going to be taking to the studio shortly. How many songs are you planning on recording? I know that you just did one.
Yeah, well, we're going to do it differently than the last time. So the last time was a really traditional, went into the studio, everybody laid down their individual track, it gets mixed, produced, and there it is. But what I think we lost, the feedback we were getting anyway from people that would see us live was like, wow, that, nice, great song. And, it sounds professional anyway. It doesn't sound like it was done on an iPad. And the producer, Sam Hilfer, which we've interviewed, is awesome. But it failed to capture maybe the energy of a live performance, which so often is kind of the case when you go into the studio and do these things. So I think our next approach is to go and record in a larger space. We're going to record live off the floor, and which means we're all playing together at the same time.
Yeah.
And everybody's instrument is recorded. And then we'll go back and lay over the vocals on top of that. But the energy of a live performance should be there. So we're hoping to get
very cool.
I don't know how many we can bang out in a day, but we're gonna try for at least five. Whoa. It's huge. Because I mean, you know, and the reality is to do it really well, we might get three. But I'm gonna aim for five. I'm gonna say five, but
keep the fingers crossed.
Yeah, the challenge is, what do you do with it afterwards, right? That's, everybody's always said, well, okay, so you wrote the song and you recorded it and you perform it and people seem to like it. So now what are you going to do with it? I don't know. That's where my expertise stops. And people like Amanda Kind, who we've also interviewed, you know, when they talk about getting it on Facebook and people follow it and like it. And then the next thing you know, it's up on DistroKid and stuff.
She has had some fantastic success recently.
Yeah, and deservedly.
Yeah, oh, completely.
That is one talented lady, you know, super songwriter and vocalist, you know. So, and she's actually dabbled. She's, you know, she swings a wide bat. She goes from pop to country and everything in between.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. So actually, just in late November, Amanda and I were talking about doing some work together again, which I really enjoy her. So I've got a song that I've written, I think that needs kind of her touch and her opinion on, and then maybe Sam as well, because I really enjoyed what they had done with her songs. So anyway, yeah, that's kind of the plan.
When do you think you're going to be in studio?
Oh, buddy, I don't know. I mean, really, everything's sort of up in the air. I would love
to. I wasn't sure if you had a tentative date booked yet or.
Well, no, because the problem is this, that even though everybody in Monday Morning Whiskey is triple vaxxed, we're trying to be careful. We don't want to, if we get together and rehearse, then we all go back to our families.
Yeah.
So we're not doing rehearsing right now. And as a band, so
you need some time.
You know, we need to get a run of rehearsals before you go into a studio, right? So
yeah,
that's kind of the situation. I would love to get in there. You know, our next gig that is still on the calendar that hasn't been rescheduled or canceled outright is in March, because I think the bars are just, they don't know what they're doing, right? They don't know what anything is happening, and so why they can't
there's
pay
no
bands.
Need to book. Yeah,
there's no need to book, and you know, they've lost so much revenue that it's a challenge for them. So anyway, so we have a gig in March that we're obviously looking forward to, but we are going to have to at some point get back to rehearsing and back to having some efficacy in these vaccines, because that's really the truth of it, right?
Yeah,
the vaccines don't prevent you from getting COVID, but they make it a lot more palatable should you get sick. Mm-hmm. So if you believe in the efficacy of the vaccine, then moving forward, got to get on with life, right?
Oh, exactly.
So, yeah, absolutely. Now, what about you? Are you and Allison and Tavano? You get anything on the calendar that you say, hey, I'm looking forward to that?
Not right now. We've really been jonesing for something. My wife and I, we were able to get out west for a week to go out and just enjoy some time, just the two of us. Did lots of hiking up in the mountains every day. We were on a new mountain. And that was great. I hadn't been back to BC in, gosh, I can't tell you how long.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that was really nice. But already I'm looking for something new, whether that is going down south at some point. We just need the world to open up a little bit more before we're ready to do that, because we don't want to run into any problems. You know, we don't mind going down as long as we have all the protocols in place. The question is, can we come back safely as well too?
You know,
you don't want to get stuck in another country. Not that the Caribbean wouldn't be a great place to be stuck.
Well, I think you're only stuck for 5 days now, right? So
is it only five?
Well, it's 5 days here. I need to maybe be up to speed on, you know, I know you need a PCR test to get back from the States. Not so much going in. That's the strange part. I thought you would have to show that you're at least healthy going into a country. They don't seem to be, if you drive over, they don't seem to be that concerned. I was like, what? There's not a lot. The rules, the science is sound. The rules necessarily are not. It's like, guys, come on. Let's all do some testing. But yeah, no, I agree with you. And it would be nice also if BC weren't, you know, experiencing massive cold and snowfalls or massive floods and, you know, underwater, or being totally on fire. Like, that province has really taken it this year, right?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's
hard. Just in terms of weather recently, what I've been following, I like to go down to Colorado when I can to do a little bit of skiing. And I ski generally Steamboat. And they have had almost 2 feet of snow in the last 24 hours. It's an incredible amount of snow.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah, exactly. They are just getting dumped on in those mountains. They need it. You know, they're powder skiing. It's what's brings people there. Unfortunately, I'm not there. So stuck here in Waterloo.
I know. Well, Waterloo's not so bad to be stuck in, I guess. No. Lots of great stuff going on. But anyway. Well, look, this has actually been kind of neat.
Yeah, a little bit different.
We just a little bit more subdued, but gosh darn it, you're an interesting guy.
And you guys have had to listen to Backstage Lowdown for the last 40 minutes or so.
But yeah, we appreciate it. There you go. Well, look, have a good weekend. And then hopefully we've got, like I said, we've alluded to having some good programs or good episodes rather coming up, so that I'm looking forward to. Yeah. But it's always a pleasure to hang out with you, man.
Very cool. Everybody, thanks for listening.
All right.
Peace.